Welcome to Golf Better at Edwin Watts Golf. Episode number 49. Hello, everyone. My name is Tom Brussell, and thank you so much for joining us. Whether you're a first-time listener or a long-time veteran of the show, we're glad you're with us. And with me, as he is each week, is Kenny Nicholson. Kenny, how are you?
I'm good, Tom. How are you today?
I'm doing outstanding. And even more so, we have somebody on your side of the desk, a special guest that we'll get into in just a few minutes. But your inbox has been buzzing with Ask Kenny questions and also with entries for that wedge we had a couple episodes ago with Bob Vokey.
Yeah, we had Mr. Vokey on the show, which was an absolute joy for us to have him on the program. And he offered to give away a Vokey wedge of a listener's choice. And we had a bunch of people submit their request and entries. And at the end of the show, we'll be announcing who the winner is for that and also announcing a new giveaway that that I'm very excited about as well. So we'll have those at the end of the program today.
Yeah, I'm proud to bring in a friend from out west, the manager of U.S. Footwear for TaylorMade Adidas Golf, is Tom Manthey. Tom, how are you, man?
I'm good. Thank you for having me on. I'm glad we're finally able to do this.
Hey, we got a battery of questions, but before we get into them, the pronunciation, everybody thinks it's Adidas, but it really is.
Goes back
to Adi, right, the founder of the company, years ago, right?
Yep, it goes back, you know, the amount of history we have, it goes back to Adi Dassler. So Adi Dassler, of course, the founding father of Adidas, and it's where the name comes from. It's so common, though, to hear it in the U.S., Adidas, but properly pronounced, especially if you're ever in Germany, you're going to hear it Adidas.
Yeah, just head over to Europe and you'll hear it correctly.
Well, talk about your role in the company, Tom.
Well, I actually handle all of the commercialization of footwear in the U.S. So, you know, there's regions obviously around the world, the European market, the Canadian market, the Asian market, but I am solely responsible for bringing footwear to commercialization in the U.S.
Well, you guys did something unique. I think it was about 3 or 4 years ago when you announced a version of the Adidas shoes, the Tour 360, which really turned it into a like a club. It's a performance.
Yeah. I'm in that club, by the way.
Tour 360.
Yeah, I love. I'll say it with you sitting here, but I've said it without Tom sitting here. That out of the box, the most comfortable shoe I've ever put on my foot, and that's a compliment to you guys and your R&D and what you guys have done over the years.
And you guys have made it literally a piece of equipment, right?
Oh, that's that at the base of the foundation for any design we do is footwear is equipment, and it's not just something you put on your feet and you walk around the course and you hit a couple shots in. Footwear can enhance your swing, and we look at it as equipment. And we have since, you know, Tour 360 first started back in 2006. And as you said, Tom, that's really what put us on the map is that Tour 360. It at the price point, $180 price point retail, we were laughed at. And here we are today, you know, the number two brand in golf footwear, and you know, eyes are set on becoming number one.
Tom, what makes Adidas golf footwear so unique?
Well, I think you touched on it just a little bit earlier in that our view of it is different than it's traditionally been, and that is it's equipment for your body. So when, depending upon if it's a power band or whether it's an LTD or a Tour 360, each consumer of those shoes or each person in those shoes has different things that they're looking for, whether it be an Adi Preen technology or a ThinTech technology or a grip zone, you know, technologies that are individual to those couple shoes that I mentioned. The foundation is that, again, I come back to footwear is equipment, and it's equipment for your body. And that's what I think makes us so special, is that we view it as we do a club or a ball or any type of equipment.
Yeah, I mean, the brand is grown so much over the course of the last few years. Just looking at the U.S. Open and the bag Sergio's carrying looks like a big Adidas shoe. I was loving it. But, I mean, we talk so much about being properly fit for golf clubs and things of that nature. I mean, is it that important to choose the proper footwear when you're buying shoes?
It's really over the past couple of years you hear about it on the club side and how important it is to be fit for your clubs, whether it be, you're 2 inches longer or your degree is 2 inches down or an inch upright. Footwear is the same thing. You know, these are shoes, unlike, say, a seven iron that you're taking out maybe 5-7 times around. Footwear, you're going to be wearing it throughout the entire 18 holes, or if you're lucky enough, 36 holes. And yes, it they have to be fit for your feet and fit for your feet properly. So, you know, whether it be, as I go back to, whether you're looking for technologies that are responsive or power technologies in the power band, no 2 feet are alike. And a lot of times your left foot is different than your right foot. You just have to try them out and see what's best for you. And we certainly have a nice range that you can play with to try and get you where you ultimately need to be.
I think you said 36 holes in a day. Boy, that would be something. I wish I had the time to do that still.
Tom Manthey from Adidas Footwear joining us. Hey, Tom, it's tough to get pros to change equipment. It's tough to get them to change shoes. I know that talking to not only you guys, but other manufacturers. Can you talk about some of the players? Maybe you can't mention names, but you guys have a very impressive stable of pros playing your shoes. All you got to do is look down and look for the stripes most of the time, right?
Yeah, I mean, without question, week in and week out, we're definitely the most visible brand out there. I mean, we have the contrasting 3 stripes, and you can't but help notice
it. You can't miss it.
You cannot miss it. So for us, it's, you know, great advertising. Unfortunately for the other manufacturers that they don't have, we certainly have capitalized on it. And the amount of guys, what's funny is, you know, we certainly, I mean, there's no secret, we have a number of athletes that we pay to wear our product, but what's surprising is the number of athletes we have that we don't pay to wear the product, that they just choose to wear the product because they understand the technology story, the direction we're going. They like the fits, and it's exciting that's the case.
Hey, if your feet aren't comfortable, I don't think you're going to play very well. I'm going to be honest. Try to wear a pair of shoes that are too small or too big or what have you. I mean, to me, footwear is extremely important. The thing that has surprised me the most, you know, I've been with Watts for almost 17 years, but one of the big things that's changed over the years, especially over the course of the last, you know, 4, 5, 6 years, is technology in golf shoes. It's changed so much. Why is that?
Well, I think it comes back to what we started talking about, and that's the view of footwear is different now. Shoes are as much as any piece of equipment that is in your bag, or whether it's a ball or whether it's a club. Footwear is equipment, and just like equipment has technologies, footwear does as well. And that's really where, you know, you have the uniqueness of Adidas coming in and our focus on those technologies.
That's a great compliment for the TaylorMade hard good lines, too, because those guys are playing the clubs. They put the Adidas brand on their feet. That they all like it.
It's an easy sell.
Yeah. Hey, you talked about equipment, Tom. Are there any kind of limitations on footwear with regard to rules like there are with regard to hard goods?
Not that I know of. You know, there's some guys who have actually ground down some of their outsoles and to get a little bit more roll because they've called some of our shoes too stable, if there is such a thing. But not that I know of. You know, certainly there are limitations in what we can do from a design standpoint. Certainly having a cleat and receptacle, you have to have a certain amount of material in the outsole that can actually hold that receptacle in. So definitely there are some limitations in terms of design, but might have to go one step above me to figure out if there's any USGA requirements on performance enhancing in footwear.
Now, do you guys use the Tour Pros for any type of footwear influence in developing shoes?
Yeah, they are our biggest critics, and the in the 2009 line especially, they have actually for the past couple of years. You know, the big comment out there is get us closer to the ground. We want to get closer to the ground, and ultimately, you know, you take references from other sports in football, you know, great running backs, Emmitt Smiths and Barry Sanders, who have a low center of gravity and that are close to the ground. They're tough to tackle. IndyCar or NASCAR racing, the cars are built low to the ground, ultimately for stability. And these guys that are out on tour, they want to have the feel and they want to be close to the ground. So they say, take cleats and put them directly into our feet. Obviously, we know we're not going to do that. But we have in the 2009 line, in the Tour 360 LTD and the Tour 360 3.0, actually redeveloped the outsole completely, in effect taking away conventional midsoles and eliminating all the unnecessary material around those receptacles, and ultimately getting the athlete closer than they've ever been.
You bring up a good point with the Tour 360. Can you talk a little bit about the Tour 360 franchise and how it's changed the landscape of golf footwear? I mean, the look aesthetically is a beautiful shoe.
Yeah, it is. That shoe was released back in 2006. I can remember when I was in the marketing department, and to be quite honest, even I had my reserves about it. A very athletic looking $180 price point shoe. Is it really possible that what are we thinking? Is that really going to change the face of the game? And thank goodness there were some visionaries that pushed hard on that, and here we stand today. At least as of the market share numbers for April, 19.5% on the off course market share. So it's pretty exciting what that shoe has done over the past couple of years for us, and also what that shoe has enabled us to do with the power band and also a Tour 360 LTD, and even price point shoes for us like the FitRx.
I remember the first year, one of the big problems you had was just demand of the shoe was nowhere near what you thought it could be, and the supply just couldn't keep up with the demand of the shoe. And then also you came out around the major championship times with some shoes you called them, I believe, the Hot Shots or something, right, in special colors?
Yep. Yeah. We did some blue ones. We did some pink ones. We did some green ones, and, called them Hot Shots. And, it's just goes back to Adidas as a brand and, continuing to push. And there's definitely a consumer out there for some of those colors. Core colors obviously are our number one sellers, and our black whites and white blacks. But, they're exciting too when you do some of those limited editions. And truly they are limited editions, just a couple thousand around the world. And if you're lucky enough to get in on some of those early buys, they're one of a kind.
Tom Anthony joining us. Tom, talk about some of the other shoes in the Adidas family, some of the other brothers and sisters on way down the price point scale, and some even a little bit more. I mean, the Tour 360 Limited is like a step above the Tour 360, if I remember right.
Yeah, the Tour 363 priced at $180. It actually gave draft to the power band, and the power band was, even on a unit wise, even a bigger success for us than the Tour 360 was, just because, the guy who was at $140 price point, $100 price point, and wanted all of the technologies that we offered in the Tour 360 but didn't want to pay the $180 price point, we now gave them an opportunity at $140 price point to get in on the three stripes and yet still capitalize on all the technologies that we put in our shoe. I mean, that shoe is loaded top to bottom with technologies in the grip zones and the Adiprene pluses, grip zone being the cat's tongue with it all comes back to a real story on the power band of enhancing all of the power generated in the swing and transferring it directly down to the ball. The heart of that shoe, the technology, is called the Power Band Chassis, which is a cradling unit for your foot, similar to that of a bucket seat. And I'm going back to reference car racing again. But when you pull a corner and you're starting to pull a couple G's, if you don't have a bucket seat, you're going to slide all over. And the Power Band Chassis is pretty much the same concept there, and that's the sidewalls actually cradle your foot, keeping it in place. So loaded technologies in the power band.
Another thing I noticed in the power band is very popular with a women golfer.
Yeah, that is actually one of our best selling shoes on the ladies' side, the power band. And at a price point of $140, it's a little bit of a surprise, but women understand the importance of technology, and they're willing to pay for it.
What I mean, obviously, that's a big driver for us in footwear, because that price point seems to be what everybody is at. I mean, they're in that $100, $130, $140 range, and that shoe is extremely popular. There's some other shoes in your line that are at a lower price point, but to me, the technology story behind it, the Fit RX is one of those that has the exclusive 3D Fit foam. Can you touch on that one for
us? Yeah, definitely. You know, the consumer, if you look at it as a whole market, there's a big opportunity for us as a brand under $100. And we know we need to get stronger under the $100 price point. And it's so critical to, you know, for that guy who doesn't even want to pay the $140 price point on a power band, but still wants three stripes in the technology. We really have gone in for 2009 and focused on being able to have some takedown technology for that guy in the Fit RX. And what we found at that price point was it's more of a comfort story than anything else. And that's what we focused on the technologies there. We have a 3D Fit foam, which is actually two layers of polyurethane or PU, and then a top layer, which is about 6 millimeters of memory foam. So similar to like memory foam in your bed.
In a bed, yeah. That's what I would refer it to.
And that's when you put that shoe on, and that's what a lot of people say, that after 3-4 seconds, the thing molds to your foot. We also have a technology, and this is where it gets nice, that we're part of a brand such as Adidas that we can go back to the well and borrow technologies that they use in running shoes. And we actually have borrowed a technology called GeoFit that we put in the collar of that shoe. It's foam pads anatomically positioned to really enhance the comfort story. So when you combine the 3D Fit foam inlay sole along with that GeoFit, you just have a full-on comfort story under $100.
Is the Fit RX, is that the successor to the university shoe?
So,
in some way, it looks a lot like the university, which is a very comfortable walking shoe, more athletic looking.
Yeah, it definitely in some ways it is. It's a little less on the athletic look or the design, but to some degree it's the follow up version to that. University obviously carries a rich tradition with big Adidas, and FitRx is a brand new name. I mean, it's a prescription for your foot. Really driving back to that comfort story. And another thing that it has is it's an all leather with a 2-year waterproof. So
two year
waterproof on an all leather shoe. So at the price point
it's $79. I mean,
that's pretty awesome.
It's unheard of.
Hey, we know you're busy today. Just a couple more questions, Tom. What is the chef cook in the kitchen? What kind of shoe? What shoe do you wear? You can take your pick, and you got the whole line. What is it? Do you wear a different shoe if you walk and if you ride, or how does that work?
Yeah, definitely. It depends if the course has carts or not, or if the cart cost is included. But I definitely have my pick of the line, and I tend to be a little bit more on the classic side. I've actually been accused of being a little bit more traditional. So I find myself taking advantage of all of the technologies we have to offer in either the Tour 360 LTD or the Tour 360 3.0. But, you know, truly, I've walked a couple times in the Fit RX, and for the price point that's at and the comfort cushion story that's in that, you can't go wrong. And then we also have a category in the athletic category that we offer some great technologies as well with mesh uppers that have a 50-50 technology, which is a TPU shield that goes all the way around the bottom half. So if you play at 6 a.m. in the morning, you know, and you get some dew kicking up, you have the benefits of that TPU keeping the dew out. And then, you know, like it is today here in Fort Walton Beach, 95 degrees out.
And humid.
and humid. You have the benefits of the mesh. So, you know, I'm not afraid to put on a power band sport or a 2 or 360 sport either.
Yeah, that's, I mean, me particularly, I've been wearing the, what's the tennis shoe?
Power band sport.
Yeah, I've been wearing the power band sport for some time. I mean, it's just basically a tennis shoe looking golf shoe extremely comfortable. And I've been wearing, I mean, I have the Tour 360.
Yeah, the orange stripe, right? The orange stripe.
Yeah, well, mine are gray with the blue stripe.
Blue stripe, yeah.
Yeah, and I just wear them just about every, especially in shorts.
Yeah, they're great short shoes.
Yeah, and I feel like I'm always on the run. So, but for me, I think what's exciting, real quick, is what's on the horizon for you guys. I mean, what do you see in the future for footwear
that you can talk about?
Well, you know, it's funny. I'm actually in a pre-line with you guys right now, and we're looking at the 2010 line, and I can't get too in depth in it, but the Closer to the Ground story has been such an easy story to tell, and the consumer gets it, and you know, we're trying to get it even lower to the ground.
I mean, it's obviously all you have to do is watch golf on the weekend, and you'll see how popular it is. Let me ask you this: we always try to squeeze something out of people that we do podcasts with. What's the chances of being able to offer a pair of Fit RX to one of our lucky listeners?
Oh, I thought you were going to try and squeeze some more 2010 information out of me. Yes. yeah, definitely. Let's do that. You know, we talked to. I'll let you guys pick whatever shoe you wanna do.
You know, just let us
know. Let me kick this one in there. Why don't we do one for the men's, one for the ladies? Can we do that?
Sure, absolutely. Yeah.
Now you're twisting my arm now. I hope you heard that correctly. There will be one winner for the ladies and one winner for the men's.
We'll just have to get our technical expert, Nick Kurtz, to separate that spreadsheet from ladies to men's, but we'll make it work somehow.
Yeah.
But Tom, thanks so much for joining us. We know you're busy and making it in here to God's country. It's only a heat index of about 112, 115 outside, but nothing unlike what you might be used to a little bit. Thanks so much.
Tom, thanks a million
for
joining us.
Guys. I appreciate the opportunity.
Well, thanks again, Tom. Kenny, how about that? Not one pair of shoes to give away, but two pairs.
Yeah, that's awesome. I can't believe it. So we're going to have one winner for ladies and one for men, and couldn't be happier. So be sure to register. And when you do, make sure you let us know if you're, you know, because sometimes a lady might, you know, fill out a registration form for her husband on a regular product. So women, you know, specify you're qualifying for the ladies or the men.
And for our first-time listeners, how to register to win, obviously go to edwinwattsgolf.com and tell them where to go from there.
Yeah, on the left-hand side of the homepage is a Golf Better icon. Just click on that and you'll go to the Golf Better landing page. And once there, there'll be a register to win button. All you have to do is fill out the information there and submit it, and you'll be good to go. And that's also where we house the Ask Kenny questions too. If you have any questions for any general golf question or upcoming episodes or things you'd like from the show, hit that button and send them to me, and I'll be happy to answer them for you.
Okay, and going back two episodes to episode number 47 was the Bob Vokey wedge from Titleist. And
what a great interview that was.
That was awesome. But again, over 500 entries for that wedge. We've let it run an extra episode or so just to see what kind of action it would get. Over 500, and
we pulled
the name of the winner, and the winner is James Allison of Southfield, Michigan. James, congratulations. We will be getting with you on your specs on your wedge, what loft on the wedge.
Yeah, what loft, bounce, yeah. And heck, we might even get Bob to sign it for you.
And just remember, James, bounce is your friend. But another great day. Again, thanks so much to Tom Manthe from Adidas Footwear. Kenny, thanks to you for sitting in again. And we'll do it again in a couple weeks.
Yeah, looking forward to it. Thanks for everything.
From everyone at edwinwattsgolf.com. So long, everyone.